The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
My next guest is a man that I hold in very high regard. He is a dear friend. He has done amazing work. He and his wife, Stacy, are co-founders of Ransom Heart Ministries. He has a brand new book out, and could I say ever more timely, it's entitled Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. John Eldridge, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. John, how are you?
Hey, Frank. I'm great. I'm glad to talk to you, pal. How you been?
I've been okay. It's crazy to think it's been a year since I've seen you when you were so kind to let me come visit you when I was in Colorado Springs. And here we are a year later, and life is life, and in Christ all is great. Amen?
Yes, it is. A year later, and the world's gone nuts.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that. Now, I obviously want to talk about your book, Get Your Life Back. Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. Did you know something when you wrote the book, or are we all little challenged in this world in and of itself right here, right now?
Yeah, this feels like one of those things that God does. I'm not the only voice that was beginning to come out and say, hey, we're a little too plugged in, everybody, and we're spinning and running too fast, and we're taking in too much media, and you got to take care of your soul. Like, but I think Jesus knew. He knew what people were going to need.
Yeah. John, I noticed in your book, the average American looks at their phone 80 times a day, and 70% keep it near bed or maybe even in bed, and we have all this information in this pace. I'll ask you directly, as you just alluded to, is this good for us? Is this good for our soul? Does this feed our soul in any way?
Well, the research coming in, Frank, is not good. You know, I've been a Christian therapist for almost 30 years now, and I've been super concerned about the rising rates. Anxiety actually was already skyrocketing in the West prior to COVID-19 and the financial fallout implications. We were already in pretty stretched then as a people group. And then the data, particularly on social media, direct correlation of, you know, depression and anxiety and your use of social media. So I just wanted to help people. You know, the idea of Get Your Life Back is you're not handcuffed to this. And the war has always been for our attention. And everything out there is just screaming for your attention right now. But you look at passages like Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17, where it says, the people who are able to give their attention to God in times of crisis are like trees planted by a riverbank. And what captivated me about that, it says, their leaves never wither, even in seasons of drought. And so that's my heart for people. I want them to be well. I want them to be whole. And the war, therefore, is, you know, in those passages, those people are able to give God their attention.
John Eldridge is my guest. John, I'm going to jump around here and there. There's a lot going through my mind, especially with the situation we perceive is going on, depending on where we get our information and who we rely on. I know that you have a one-minute pause that you have talked about in your book, and if ever there's a time where we can learn about the importance of taking time, what is the one-minute pause?
Okay, this is really fun because we actually turned it into an app. It's a free app on iPhone, Android, and more than 45,000 people have downloaded this app in about 2 months. Because what it's helping us do in the midst of the chaos is pause and reset. And there's some great brain research on this that says it's super good for you to do this for your soul. But what Jesus was showing me in my own life was, he said, John, you never pause. You just blast, buddy. Mm-hmm. You just go from meeting to meeting to phone call to news, you know, get in that podcast, check the news again. And he says, here's what I want you to do. 60 seconds, pal. And he's very gentle. Jesus makes these things very accessible. He's like very kind. 60 seconds. I want you to stop several times a day, 60 seconds, and just let it go. Mm. And in the pause, we practice what I call benevolent detachment. Because what's happened, Frank, the tsunami of news and media was already, we were already hostage to it mm-hmm. before all this fell out. But now, come on, I mean, everybody is totally checking, you know, their news sources and their websites. And I love the way you phrase that very carefully, you know, wherever you happen to get your news. So everybody's, you know, plugged in. But at some point, folks, you are on media overload. You know way too much. The human soul was never meant to handle the heartache of the whole entire planet. And so you got to let it go. You've got to have a couple moments in your day. And the beautiful thing about the pause is we're not asking you to let it go for the rest of your life. We're not asking you to let it all go for a day. But in a moment, you can pause and you can just say, all right, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. And then as you're doing that, you see you're becoming that tree planted by the streams of water. You're giving God your attention for a moment. And you're able to receive his love, his life, his resilience.
Said a different way, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. Are you saying that there's virtually nothing greater than a follower of Jesus to ground ourselves in his presence?
Yeah, man, especially now. Like the people that are going to thrive right now are the people who, you know, fix our eyes on Jesus, practice his presence, be rooted in him. Those are the folks that are going to thrive in the midst of, you know, it's really hard. Can we just name how stressful this moment is, everybody? It's super stressful because everybody's new normal has changed. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going to happen next. You know, you get up in the morning, you immediately check to see, are there new regulations?
Right.
Are we on total shutdown?
Right.
You know, and that is really stressful. And so you got to ground yourself in the presence of God, or this thing's going to take you and just bake you dry.
Hmm. John Eldridge is my guest. John, when you first had the idea to write this book, then versus now, I would imagine you're thinking, yeah, wow, God knows what he's doing, and yet here we are. What an opportunity, whether it's to take the one-minute pause or reassess things. The way we live as a modern culture, not good even before this all transpired. And is this an opportunity maybe to realize, in the scheme of all of this, we can really be a blessing and be blessed by God if we do and if we're intentional in looking to him above all? I mean, I'm rhetorically asking you this question, but I hold your book, Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. You start writing this a number of months ago, and here we are today. It's like, well, we can apply that right here, right now, to what's going on right here, right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think you're right, Frank. I think it is opportunity. I think this could be the brink of the next great awakening, because people needed to be shook up. And I'm not saying that insensitively, but look, Hebrews 12, God says, I'm going to shake everything so that only that which is unshakable remains. And frankly, I've been shaken. I'm honest. Mm-hmm. This is exposed, you know, my freaking out over my, mm-hmm. you know, 401k and my retirement account and, you know, what's going to be my future and all. It is exposing the entire planet to the false gods and the false security that we all put our hope in. And I think that's really good, because it's this incredible gospel moment, I think, for you know, people don't turn to God when everything's great. People turn to God when they need help and they need a foundation. So, like, far out, man, let the church shine.
John, I got a press release for your book, I don't know, a week or two ago, and sometimes they have suggested interview questions, and there's a lot of really good ones I have in front of me. A listener forwarded me an email that you sent out, probably to many on your mailing list, and I just want to read a couple of points, and I suspect the email and the questions all relate to the book and where we're at right now, and anything you want to add to it, feel free to. You wrote in the email, and I'm just kind of jumping around, God remains immensely good. God is still in control. We've talked about grounding yourself in Jesus. And then you shared about let's pray for peace over the world, our communities, peace into the chaos, only in peace with people. We react well, make good decisions, find their faith. Can you talk about your ministry with Ransomed Heart and all of the moments of trial and tribulation? You've always been so transparent to just, you know, one of the many things I love about you is you're just real. You know, you say you don't put out this perfect Christian message and just go to scripture and God is good all the time. You talk about, man, this is a little trippy right now. But all that being said, we have your book. We've got God's book, His Truth. And there are thousands and thousands of people listening right now to you and your voice. What would you share with them about all of what we have in front of us and this idea of real versus digital? I just want to give you the airwaves for a few moments, and then I can ask a question or two specifically about your book.
Well, Frank, God timed this interview. Thank you. You're being very gracious about the book, but it's not about the book, is it? It's about the moment, and it's about how people are doing. And so I think I just want to say a couple things. Your soul matters. Your humanity matters right now, and we are all being taken for quite a ride, and it's brutal. And so you've got to do a few things every day where you get to be human again, and you get to like take care of your soul, friends, because that's the only way you're going to come through this strong. You know, that we're not out of the woods here. This thing is just unfolding, and so we don't know what's ahead. But you have passages like Matthew 6 where Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. And we've all heard that and heard beautiful Bible lessons on it, but we didn't realize how important that was till now. And let me tell you why. So right now, fear has swept the earth. And when you get billions of people, billions, making massive agreements with fear,
yep,
that creates a spiritual climate that is really gnarly.
Yeah.
And I'm not by nature a fearful person, but this morning at 2 a.m., boom, I was just awoken with fear. And so, friends, you got to understand, right now you're like a submarine, and all around you is this intense pressure, you know, 20,000 leagues under the sea. Like, you are in this pressure, and so you don't want to be making agreements with fear. You don't, and the thing about not worrying about tomorrow, you see, when you start speculating about the future, I wonder if, it's opening your soul up to the fear of the world. And so, just out of kindness, I want to say, no agreements with fear, no agreements with speculation. Jesus, who you loved and were great with last year, same Jesus, same goodness, you know, he's got you. No fear, friends.
You've also spent a great deal of energy in your ministry talking about breaking agreements. Now, you talk about don't make an agreement with fear. Can we also talk about breaking agreements? What does that mean? What does that look like? Maybe some people are being held hostage from their past they're not even aware of, and we can break those agreements right here, right now.
Yeah, let's do. So the devil is an opportunist, and he doesn't arrange for every bad thing that happens in your life or on the planet, but I guarantee you he takes advantage of it. And so he uses things in your past You know, there's agreements back there of, you know, no one's ever going to come through for you, or people don't understand you. And there's a whole lot of folks who've had a long history with anxiety. And so now, oh, man, this is like a perfect storm for more agreements around I'm not safe, I'm not in a good place, I'm not going to be okay. And you want to close all those doors to your soul. You want to break the agreements that you've made around I'm not protected, I'm not loved, I'm not okay. But I want to add one more right now, because the other thing that's sweeping the earth, obviously death is trying to get everybody intimidated here. And I don't just mean physical death, but, you know, the financial shakeup. And Frank, the agreement that's going on right now is things will never be the same. It's over. It's the end of things, quote unquote. And I was realizing, like, even this book for me. Okay, so this book's really important to me, and I think it could really help a lot of people. But to release a book right now in a media chaos like this is like, you're not going to get anybody's attention, right? Because everybody is transfixed with, you know, getting enough toilet paper, for heaven's sakes. Mm-hmm. And so I could make an agreement of, well, that's over. That's not going to go well. And that's kind of that death thing, trying to make people make agreements, come into alignment with, swallow the lie of, you know, it'll never be good again, or I won't be okay. And so, gang, anything that feels like it's over, that's a kind of death. And you don't want to make agreements with that. That's not from God. You know, Jeremiah says, I've given you a future and a hope. He's like, I got you guys. And like, you know, we were saying, this is a really huge gospel moment. So no agreements with fear, no agreements with it's over or anything that feels like death. That is not from Jesus Christ, I guarantee you.
John Eldridge is my guest. His new book is entitled Get Your Life Back. Also, I want to make mention of Ransom Heart Ministries and the app that, speaking of digital, you can download. And I have it. I go to it often. You have a daily reading, daily prayer. Talk about the importance of, let's kind of get our wits about us and go, wait a minute here. Are we praying daily? Are we taking a one-minute pause? What a golden opportunity we have right here, right now, in the center of this perfect storm, if you will.
Yeah, it is. it is. And, you know, gang, as I said, the war has always been for your attention. So you're going to have to make some deliberate choices to, first off, just limit your media. You don't need to know every single new report on, you know, COVID-19 in every single country in the nation, in the world. You just don't need to know that. Instead, prayer. Instead, let's turn our attention back to God. And ground ourselves in some really good prayers. And I think we do pray for peace, Frank. I think we do pray for love. I think we pray for an outpouring of the love of God. I think we pray for a revelation of Jesus into the world right now. And I'm kind of praying two things. I'm praying that those who need to be shaken so that they turn to Christ, yeah. I'm praying they're shaken.
Yeah,
I don't want this thing to be fixed tomorrow. If what I mean by that is, if someone could turn to Christ because of it, if thousands could turn to Christ because of it, come on, like that's the whole point of, that's everything we signed up for, gang. But on the other hand, I am praying peace. I am praying love, because the more peace and love that gets into our communities, the better decisions people are going to make. You know, school administrators are scrambling, and hospitals, good Lord, they're scrambling. Let's pray peace into those things. And then, if I could recommend one thing, it would be get the Pause app. It's called the 1 Minute Pause. It's iPhone and Android. It's free. It's absolutely free, folks. And you get it on the App Store, because the 1 Minute Pause app will take, there's actually a 1 minute, a 3 minute, a 5 minute, a 10. And we just crossed the threshold of 1 million minutes of people pausing to recenter in Jesus. And the prayer is really beautiful. There's this music, and there's you looking at a beautiful nature scene, and then I lead you in some prayer, and the prayer is really simple. It's, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. Heal my union with you. I need more of you. And so, yeah, like of all the things I could recommend, I'd say get that.
John Eldridge is my guest. John, we have a couple of moments before I bid you adieu. In the promo copy of the book, the last question is somewhat ironic. I want to read it to you and obviously ask for your response. What encouragement do you have for those who feel they cannot slow down? Now, obviously, that was written before what we're experiencing now, where it's almost a dire necessity where we have to not even slow down, but almost stop. So,
yeah.
If I can ask, the encouragement in slowing down right now, even though we're so used to living frenetic and frantic lives and going and not eating dinner together at the table, and yet here we are, family. We have an opportunity to maybe even get our families back by taking a moment. Can you share encouragement along the lines that slowing down, the one-minute pause, whatever, can be a wonderful thing? We don't have to run around. And as you've written and talked and taught to so many people, this is not good for our souls. We're not meant to live like this.
Yeah. I want to say, even though the world feels like it's on fire right now, friends, there is a quiet place, a place of refuge. It's Psalm 91, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge, and he is right there with you. And frankly, the whole world's kind of been made to stop all of a sudden. I mean, many of us are working from home. Some of us aren't even working anymore. And so there is room now for a reset. There is room for a reset. And instead of using that reset to binge watch 48 hours of your favorite show, use it to find God again. The Lord is your refuge.
John Eldridge is my guest. Any final thoughts? And again, the new book, Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. John, I always appreciate your time and whenever you're willing to come on the program. Any final thoughts or prayers or anything you want to share with the listeners?
Let's just all pray this right now. Jesus, I reject this fear. I reject this fear. This isn't from you, God. Your word says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I reject this fear, and I reject the fear of death. I reject any agreements that are getting in, that things are over, that I'll never be the same, we won't ever recover. All of that. I reject that, God. I reject the chaos, and I choose you. Jesus, I want you more than anything else. Heal and restore my union with you. I want to be the tree planted by the streams of water that's evergreen. Amen.
Amen. John Eldridge is the co-founder of Ransomed Heart Ministries. RansomedHeart.com is the website. The book is Get Your Life Back. John, it's always a blessing to spend time with you. Thank you for today.
Yeah, I loved it, Frank. God bless you, man. You keep holding fast.
You do the same. And we will together for sure for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
All right, brother.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.